I liked how you threw that there was static in my ear in the middle of the prayer. That was pretty good. It's like, hey, there's static in my, Lord, there's static in my ear. And I think you're talking to the people in back instead of God at that particular time. Music? I'm not playing any of my music. Y'all wouldn't like it anyway. Wesley would. Genesis. We're in Genesis 30 to the thing. And we're going to back up to 1 because we just kind of read into 30 thing. And boy, the more I read into what's going on in Genesis, this is a dysfunctional family. Golly. Seriously. So, you know, there's a reason God only gave us one woman to deal with, because this man has to deal with 4 of them. Okay? And I find it hard enough dealing with 1. I couldn't imagine dealing with 4. I'm sure y'all women think the same thing about us. But, there's some stuff going on, and we'll get off into it here in a minute. So in 31, it says, Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. She envied her sister, and she said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. Well, that's a strong comment. It's like, if you don't give me children, I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I have to have children. And back in this day, the women didn't have much. They didn't have identity. They were always, they were bought and sold like slaves by their fathers to the man they married. So the only thing they have going forth is their children. That's what they have going forth. This is my boy. So she's like, I need children. I need children to make my life worth living. If I don't get children, this whole life, this whole existence I'm going through just ain't no good for me. I'd rather be dead. At this particular time, instead of understanding her, Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God who hath withheld from you the fruit of thy womb? Is it my fault? Honey, I'm doing the best I can. Every time you call for me, I do what I have to do. But it ain't me. I'm virile. I done got all women. I done got kids by everybody else. It ain't a problem with me. And he's done proven that by having children with Leah. Then she said, this is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, even I may have children through her. Now, I'm sure he knew that the problem that comes from his grandfather and everything like that, but he still walked in there. You know, whenever you got women, and it's one of those things. You just got to do it. And, you know, men sometimes, we're lust of the eyes whole thing. But he went along with his wife's wishes, so she gave him to him as a wife, and Jacob went in to her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. So she gave this woman to him as a wife. But she was basically still a slave, was she not? What happened to the child she had by him? Well, whenever she had the child, whose child was it considered of? Rachel took it for her own and said, hey, this is my kid. And she named it. She named it Dan. And Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and prevailed. So she called him Naphtali. How is she wrestling with her sister? Imagine Jacob living under these circumstances of being pulled back and forth and back and forth between these two women that are competing for his love and his loyalty. I could kind of feel for the man a little bit. Oh, I know, but like I said, I could not imagine that he's going through. You know what I'm saying? It says, and we'll see that later on. Yeah, right. He's kind of like owned by these two women because they control this part of his life. So, when Leah saw that she had ceased to bear children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. She already has four kids by him. And I could just imagine the sniping going on between these two. Yeah, your womb's all dried up now, but look, I've got two kids by him now. So she's like, well, I can send in my servant. We'll have a little more of a contest here. And Jacob's stuck in the middle of these two women. I feel for the man, I truly do. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And here we go again. This wasn't really Zilpah's kid, was it? Whose kid was it? Leah took it over as her own kid. She named the child. And Leah's Zilpah bore her, bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, good fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. And Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. So she called his name Asher. Okay. I can just see her now. Yeah, your maidservant had two kids, but I did the same. Look, I sent mine in and she had two kids, and I still have four sons over. And just imagine these sisters snapping back and forth to each other. You know, I wasn't raised in a family with multiple sisters, but I hear that they can be pretty nasty toward each other from time to time. And there's it's like there's a competition going on here, right? And it goes all the way back, and we'll hear that later on. We'll hear that in later on, but it goes all the way back to the first marriage. It says, in the days of the harvest of Reuben, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in a field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rebekah said, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. So Reuben went out, and he found some mandrakes in a field, and he picked them, and he brought them to his mother and said, Mama, I got you this beautiful bloom of flowers. I don't know what a mandrake looks like. I didn't research that. One of y'all botanists out here could probably tell me that sort of stuff. But evidently it's some kind of flower. I don't know if it's perfumey or not. I don't know. Magic. Huh? A love apple? Okay. Love apple. Anyway, so she's like, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. And this, what does she say? She says to her, it is a small matter that you have taken away my husband. Will you take away my son's mandrakes also? She goes all the way back, says, you know what? Not only have you taken away my husband, and you're taking away his love for me, because he really didn't love, he didn't want Leah, he wanted Rachel. It says that Rachel, they called her the hated one, and I don't think he hated her in the term that we thought, hey, but she was the less wanted one, the less one that felt needed. And then Rachel was the loved one, the one that he really cared about. Not that he didn't care for Leah, but he had, Rachel was much more preferred than Leah. So She says to her, she's like, you know, Rachel, you have stolen my husband already. What are you going to steal my son's mandrakes too? Well, she makes a deal with her. Rachel says, then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. She just purchased her husband for some kind of flower or love apple or medicinal purpose thing. This man is a bartering tool. Okay? This man, he is controlled by these two women in what he does. Evidently, there's some kind of schedule set up because he said, you know, they make a deal. Well, it really was my night. But you know what? You give me those love apples or those mandrakes or whatever they are, and you can have Jacob tonight. And when Jacob come into the field, Leah went out to meet him and said, you come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he lay with her that night. It's like, I've done bought you. You're coming in to my tent tonight. He was purchased. You see the relationship going on in this family dichotomy. It's totally strange to me. Like I said, it's weird. So he lay with her that night. So evidently God was listening at this particular time, and he listened to Leah. So he felt the pain in her heart and everything that was going on. He listened to Leah. And she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my wages because my servant, because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. Because I gave what's her name? Zilpah. Yeah. Because she gave Zilpah to her husband, she's like, well, God has given me another son. Just a weird, like, it's like making deals. Yeah. And Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have bore him a sixth son. She called his name Zebulun. Do you see that this woman just wanted her husband's love? Okay? She wanted her husband's love so much. And she's like, I have given this man six children. Six children. Now, keep in mind that I've never been through childbirth, but childbirth of six children, that's a full day's work right there. That is something I think that would that no man can understand. You know, when I was actually in the room. I didn't go into the birthing room because I don't believe in that sort of stuff. But for my second, my first child, I was in the Marine Corps, so that I was deployed. Thank you, Lord. And the second one, Eric, I was actually in the little room where they sat over the side, and they had the little monitor set up. And, you know, I would watch the little monitor, and it was pretty cool looking and everything. And I'm like, hey, here comes another one. And she's like, I know. I could watch it go up, and I said, oh, that's a big one. She's like, I know. So then when they took her down, you know, to the room to have the baby, no, I'm not going. I'm a man. I don't belong in that room. I'm an old-fashioned guy. So, you know, I kid with my guys all the time about them wanting to be in the birthing room when the kid burned. I said, there's nothing pretty about a newborn kid. they're covered in ook, and they got pointed heads and everything. It's just not they're not beautiful at that particular time. But I digress. I'm not going down that way. That's just a thing. So, but Leah, she said, I've given him six sons. Now, just perhaps now, this man will see the worth in me, and he will give me the love that I should have. I have been devoted. I have done everything I'm supposed to do for this man. And you know by his further actions that he still doesn't give her the same love that he gives to Rachel. And we'll hit that later on. At that particular time, after she bore him Zebulun, she got pregnant again. And she bore a daughter called Dinah. Dinah's a whole other story that we'll hit later down the road. But it was the only daughter that he had that we are told about in this particular thing. And so God, at that particular time, it says God remembered Rachel. Do you think God ever forgot about Rachel? It didn't mean he remembered it. When you hear that in the thing, it's like, okay, God had decided it was time to allow Rachel to have a children. So he remembered Rachel, and he listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son. And she called that son, and she said, God has taken away my reproach. In other words, God has taken away the stigma that was on me because I could not fulfill my womanly duty. I could not give my husband a son or a daughter or a baby. I could not do that. So God has made me whole. He's took away this reproach that was with me. So she called his name Joseph, saying, May Lord add to me another son. Okay, so now we're going to get away from the childbearing for a while. There's still one more to come. But right now we're going to talk about, in my thing, it's called Jacob's Prosperity. So at that particular time, this is quite a ways down the road, guys. Understand that by the time he leaves, he'll be there for 20 years. He'll serve 7 years for Leah, and then he'll serve 7 years for Rachel, of which he's already married to both of them at that particular time, and some of this is taken apart, going on. And then he'll serve another 6 years after that to working for his uncle. So, as soon as Rachel had born Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Uncle, it's time for me to go home. I have been with you for 14 years already. I've been with you for quite a while. Let me go. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home and see my folks and everything like that. I want to go back to my country. You know, Ohio's good, but I need to get back to Texas. Okay? He says, give me my wife, my children, whom I have served, for I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given, you. So it basically says, in other words, it says, give me my wives and my children, which I have, in other words, when he says I served you, what is it? I have bought from you. I paid the price for these wife and children from you already. Let me take what is mine and go home. But Laban said to him, If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed you, blessed me because of you. In other words, if it pleases you, understand that I've done this through divination, but I've figured out that the Lord, God Himself, had blessed me simply because of you. I don't want to lose that blessing. He's When Jacob started working for him, God blessed him and everything he did, and all of a sudden the amount of sheep and lambs and goats just blew up. Okay, it's kind of like, anybody know who Guy Fieri is? He's just like this guy that he does Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives on the Food Channel. And every time he goes to a diner or a drive-in or a dive, he's eating joints, and he throws it on television, all of a sudden everybody's like, hey, Guy Fieri's been there. We got to go there. We got to try it out. And the places just like blow up and just start expanding because they trust that he's going to go to a place that's going to give them good food. Okay, so when Jacob come to him, he's the Guy Fieri of goat herding or water sheep herding or whatever. And all of a sudden, God has blessed this man. It's not what he's done. It's the blessing that comes from God that just allows everything he touches to turn to gold. Okay? So Laban says to him, he's like, I know that God has blessed me because of you. And if I have found saving your fight, he's like, just name your wages. Whatever you want, I'll give you. Just stick around. Because you're a cash cow and I'm going to make a lot of money off of you. So Jacob and his little conniving self, Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. You know how good I am. You know that I have been loyal to you and what I did. And you know that whatever I touch had the minus touch. I can make them sheep just mature and grow like you never believed. He says, so you know how good I am at what I do. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? He's not getting any younger, is he? And he has 11 kids, not 12 yet. 12 when you taught Dinah. I'm sorry, 12. 11 men. I'm sorry I kicked a woman out. It's one of those things when we read the Bible we just lose sight of. But anyway. He has 12 kids, 2 wives, 2 maidservants, plus whoever else is hired in at this particular time. I'm sure there's nannies and herders, and he has people working for him and everything like that. So he's like, when am I going to get mine? I have done everything, and it's kind of like you go to work for a guy at a business. Say you go to tree trimming service, because I looked out there and I saw trees. And you start working for somebody, and it's a small company to start with, but you get there and people hear how good you are, and they start bringing in contracts, and they want you, and then you start growing that business up, right? Then all of a sudden, you're like, I keep working for somebody else, but I don't have anything but what the guy pays me at the end of the day. I'd like to move out and own my own tree trimming company now. So you go to the guy and says, we've been here for a long time, but I know the thing, but I need to go and do my own thing. And all of a sudden, the only thing the guy sees is that, hey, I'm losing what making me my money. I know all these people are coming in because of him and what he does. And if he leaves, half my clientele is going with him. And it's the same way here. So he said, I got to take care of myself, my own household also. I've got to look forward to and provide for my own and what's coming down the road. And he said, what shall I give you, Jacob? And he said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. You're not going to give me anything. I'm going to earn what I got. I don't want anything. I don't want you to give me anything. If somebody gives you something and they have so-called to say, you have prospered because of me, right? And you see this in his grandfather and his father. They would not take a gift from anybody. They earned what they were doing. That's kind of instilled with them in his heritage and his family as going up. They don't take free stuff away. They earn what they're going to do. So he's like, I don't want you to give me anything. He's like, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. It says, let me pass through your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the speckled and spotted amongst the goats, and they shall be my wages. So he's going to go through the sheep, and he's going to be take and remove any speckled and spotted sheep, goat, and any black lamb, and he's going to move it over here, and that's going to be his. And everything left will be Laban's. Now, I don't know how many speckled and spotted sheep they were in there and how many black lambs they were. But when I look at nature nowadays, I see very few animals are just one color. So I think probably the majority of them were speckled and spotted. Very few animals, like I said, are just one color. And as they mate, they're going to tend to pick up genes from the other side. So he was already thinking, yes, sir. Not very many. So basically, Laban's like, I got a deal here, right? Laban's like, hey, I got a deal here. If what Coach said that generally the sheep there were not speckled and spotted, so they're made in one color. So Laban's like, bet I can do this. I got his goat now. I see y'all got that, Chuck. Anyway, so Laban said, good, let it be as you said. I've got him right where I want him. But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted and gave one that had white on it every lamb that was black and put it them in charge of his sons. It said that, but that day Laban removed male goats that were striped and spotted, female goats that were speckled and spotted, and one that had white on it, every lamb that was black, and put it in charge of his son. That day Laban's like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to give all these animals to my sons. Now they're not part of my flock anymore, are they? Whose flock are they part of? They're part of his son's flocks. I've got him now. Now, he's not getting anything from me. Conniving people. And he set the distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. So then, Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and peeled white streaks from them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flock and in the troughs, that is, the watering places, where the flocks came to drink, and since they bred when they come to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, so that the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. That would be an interesting thing to try today. Only thing we can say is this was God devised. And I think you'll see it later on that it was God devised. But he basically put these sticks in front of this thing. As they come to drink, they mated. And when they mated, he took and he, the, all of a sudden you started getting these weird colored sheep come out. And I'm sure Laban's thinking, what's happening here? How is he getting all these speckled and spotted sheep coming out with the normal color? And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the stripes, and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black of the flock to Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. It goes on to say, whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in front of the eyes of the flock that they might see those sticks and breed the speckled sheep. But when the feebler of the flock would lay them there, he would not lay them there on the feebler of the flock, so that whenever Jacob's sheep come out, they were the big tough man sheep, right? And when Laban's sheep come out, they were all one color, but they were the weaker of the sheep. They weren't the strong ones. They were the smaller. They gave off less wool, and they had less meat, and whatever. They'd be feebly. Six years. And he'll say that later on. He'll say that later on. So, the feebler of the flock. And thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants, male servants, camels, and donkeys. Guess what? God prospered what he was doing and blew his inventory up. He had all kinds of flocks, he had camels, he had donkeys, he had extra servants because he had more stuff to do to pay on and all this other stuff. He hired in, he had a big contingent going on. He was high flying. Now, Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all his wealth. So Laban's sons are saying, wait a second. This sneaky, conniving guy has stolen everything that was our father's. And if they stolen everything that was father's, what are they trying to say? He's stolen all of our inheritance. That's the same thing he did back home. Okay, so he had saw this. I'm sure they were grumbling amongst their dad, saying, Dad, you made a bad deal here. We gotta renegotiate this. He's doing way too well in what you were doing. We gotta fix this. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord came to Jacob, and he told Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Okay, God comes to Laban and says, Jacob, and says, okay, Jacob, it's time to go home. Let's pack up your stuff and let's head back to your dad's house, that land where I'm going to show you. And I'm going to be with you this whole time. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field where he was. Evidently, they were back in their little tents or whatever, you know. He had a big operation going on. He was all over the place, okay? So he calls Leah and Rachel out there. And he has a family discussion with them. And he said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before. But the God of my father has been with me. Understand, he's not saying my God, right? The God of my father has been with me. He's still not made it. I still don't think he's made that personal connection yet. But he understands who God is, and he knows that God is prospering him. And it says, you know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, but God has not permitted him to harm me. He's having a conversation with his wife. He's like, you know how hard I've worked for your dad. And he does not appreciate anything I've done. He's actually changed my wages 10 times because I was making too much money. I was getting too big, so he changed my wages. He's done this 10 times. Y'all know this. We've discussed it before. Every time he does it, I come in complaining. You won't believe what your dad did today. Couldn't imagine it. But God had not allowed him to harm me. If he said, the spotted sheep shall be your wages, then all the spotted, all the flocks bore spotted. If he said, the striped sheep shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore stripes. Evidently, Laban had kept coming and changing the terms. Like, wait a second, whoa. You can have the spotted, but only I get the stripes. Wait a second. You can have all the stripes, but I get spotted. I want the one that's having the most. He had kept changing all that he said. He said, thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given it to me. It's not me doing this. God has said, this is God's plan to do this sort of stuff. It says, in the breeding season of flocks, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then God the angel told me in the dream, Jacob, and I said to him, here am I. And he said, lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate in the flocks are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen that all that Laban is doing to you. God, he said in a dream, God come to me and he said to it, you know what? Look in this dream. It's like, I have done this because I saw the affliction that Laban had put upon you. All that he's done, the conniving way that he had stolen Rachel from you and gave you Leah, how he made you work an extra 7 years for Rachel. He stole it over 7 years of her life. And then how he has totally tried to change the deal that went on for this last 6 years. I've seen all that. And he knows what Laban is doing. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise and go out of the land and return to the land of your kindred. So he says, this, I am the same God that met you on the road here, where you saw the angels going up the ladder and down the ladder, where you put made a stack of stone right there and you made an altar to me at Bethel. I am that same God. Yes, sir. Bethel. Okay. So he said, right now arise and go to the land where, and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel said to Leah, then Rachel and Leah answered him. Okay, he had come to the thing. He's like, is there any portion or inheritance left for us in our father's house? Is there anything left for us here? It goes on to say, are we not regarded by him as foreigners, for he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. He sold us to you, and he, not only that, but he kept us around and devoured our dowry that we were supposed to have. We are nothing but slaves to him, basically. That's how they look at their father. Again, I said a very strange family, right? If you say dysfunctional, you'd be here. So, he's like, all the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Then, and now then, whatever God has said to you, do. You have our blessings. We will follow you. Because whatever God has taken away from our father, he has given to you. We see that God is doing this, so don't worry about us. We will follow your lead. That's what he's saying. She's saying to them. Just as wives should do. They should always follow the leads of their husband. I'm not trying to be misogynistic in this. That's the way God has designed it to be. Now, that means, husbands, you should not listen to your wives. Just as he called them in and talked to them, they had a discussion, and he showed them that exactly what went on, and they said, yep, okay, we agree with that. Let's roll. It should be so, discussion between men and women. We are not the lords of the manor. We have discussions with our wives, okay? Wife, honey, which color car do you want? Now, you're getting a Toyota, but you can have a white one or a green one. You get your choice of colors. No, I'm going south there, so I'll get back to what I'm supposed to do. It says, they said, all the wealth God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said for you to do. So what did Jacob do? Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock, all his properties that he had gained, and the livestock and the possessions that he had acquired in Padan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stole her father's household gods. Wait a second. I thought they were the follower of God. Well, you know that in this particular time, we see Israel later on, and we see that they would not let any kind of graven image come in that. But Israel had their own little problem with gods at one particular time, did they not? And we will see that they went through a cleansing process. And then they got to the end, and they like, once they got to the end, they're like, we will not have any kind of graven. They will not allow, if you're talking devout Judaism, there is no kind of image given to anything, because they don't want to. They're very remembering of actually how God deals with the little gods in our lives. And they had a lot of them that went into that. So we see that still happening. They said that they followed the same God, but they had their little gods, okay? They had their little trinkets. I'm sure, I'm not going to go deep into that, but there was little gods going on here. So Laban went to shear his sheep. So Rachel, she's like, I'm going to get this old man one more time. She had stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban, the Aramean, the Aramean, by not telling him that he intended to flee. And he fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. There we go. And then when this was told to Laban on the third day, Jacob had fled. So he had a three-day head start on Laban, right? And Laban had went 3 days out to go shear his sheep. So Laban had to basically travel 6 days out to go find this man. And not only that, you know he wasn't standing still, was he? He was continuing to move. But when you have sheep, and women and children, a big thing. Anybody ever been on a convoy? Anybody? Not all of it. I don't think anybody's been in the military in here. But yeah, I think you were, Coach. But if you ever been on a military convoy, let me tell you something. One truck can move a lot faster than 50. When you start off, you have a snake effect. And then everybody's got to get lined out. And the minute you stop, then it starts all over again. It's not a fun thing to do. One thing can go much quicker than a group. Okay? So, especially when you got animals and stuff like that you have to tend to as you go, because they got to be watered, they got to be fed, right? So, the Laban on the third day, Jacob had fled. He took his kinsman with him and pursued for 7 days and followed close after him. into the hill country of Gilead. And God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream by night and said, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. In other words, watch your P's and Q's when you talk to this man. I am in charge of this. I am the one designing this. I am with him. I would be very careful how you spoke to this man when you come to him. I would be very careful how you treat this man when you come to him. So don't say anything, either good or bad. Understand, God had not forbidden him to talk to him, but he's like, watch your P's and Q's when you deal with him. It says, and Laban overtook Jacob, and now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban, his kinsman, pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and not tell me so that I might have sent you away in mirth and song with tambourine and lyre? So in other words, why did you trick me and run off whenever all I wanted to do was give y'all a big feast and send y'all off and try a thing? Do you really think that's what he wanted to do? Yeah, do you really think that's what he wanted? No, that's not what he intended. And he said, why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly. He says, it is in my power to do you harm. I've got these strong men with me. I could hurt you. It is my power to do you harm. But the God of your father, not our father, no, he said the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. What's your P's and Q's, Mr. Laban? I don't want to get on the bad side of me here. And it goes on to say, and now you have gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. I understand that you went away because you wanted to go home. How did you steal my gods? And we're going to leave it there. Because I'm out of time. Yeah. We'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about that next week. So we're going to start at... Where are we at? 30? 31:30 next week. Interesting thing. Like I said, this is a very, very dysfunctional family. We see Laban getting we see Jacob first off getting a crash course in how to deceive. And it seems that Laban gets the upper hand for a while, but then God says, wait a second, you know, Jacob, I'm with Jacob, and God steps in, and he makes sure that in the end, Laban's the one holding the short stick, okay? And Laban, he goes to Laban and says, guess what? You know, this is who I'm dealing with right now, and I would be very, very cautious about how you talk to him and how you deal with him. He did not say, don't do it. And he said, if you have a grievance against a man, go see it. But he said, be careful how you talk to him. Now, we're going to see a little bit more in the next time about how it's interesting where the gods are being hidden and stuff like that. So, that being said, anybody got anything else before we shut down for the day? I hope this has been a fun time. I hope it's been an informative time. I know a lot of this stuff is easy and simple. But sometimes it's just a matter of us to rethink of how God dealt. We understand that God, my whole thing about this is that we see God using imperfect people to do perfect things. He is sovereign, and we see that even though Lay is the hated one, guess who the Savior is coming out of? The line of Judah, which comes from Leah, not from the loved one, Rachel. God has His own plans and how He does things. And sometimes we can't see how He's working, right? But we know He's always working, and we always need to try to be within His will and not outside of that. And the only way we learn that is by studying our Bible. Anybody got anything else? I think we'll get out of this today. Mike, would you close this, please, sir?